I want to open up my introductory remarks with words from Don Carson. He writes, "Paul's example is impressive and clear. Put the advance of the gospel at the center of your aspirations. Our own comfort, our bruised feelings, our reputations, our misunderstood motives, all of these things are insignificant in comparison with the advance and splendor of the gospel. As Christians, we are called upon to advance the gospel at the very center of our aspirations. What are your aspirations? To make money? To get married? To travel? To see your grandchildren grow up? To find a new job? To retire early? None of these is inadmissible. None is to be despised. The question is whether these aspirations become so devouring that the Christian's central aspiration is to squeeze to the periphery or choke out of existence entirely the peripheral for the sake of the gospel." End quote. It was the gospel that motivated the Apostle Paul. So with that in mind, and with that so clearly here in our text this morning, I want to highlight for us what the gospel is. What was it that gave Paul joy? What was it which he was imprisoned for? I use the word gospel often. If you talk to me in every day, Gord brought it up. I noticed that you use the word gospel often. What do you mean by that? Well, I think sometimes as Christians, we use phrases and we sometimes don't think about what we are saying. So this is what I want to do. I wanted to define what the gospel was and then how it was a priority for the Apostle Paul. And the most concise form of the gospel that I can think of this morning comes from 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. I memorized it in Awana. "For I delivered unto you of first importance that which I also received, that Christ Jesus died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." And man's response to this gospel proclamation is clearly summarized in the words of Jesus in Mark 1:15. "Repent and believe the gospel." Now, there's much more that a person could unpack. Thankfully, Paul ends his words with, "in according to the Scriptures." There's numerous different doctrines that you could bring up. You could bring up our union to Christ that's brought forward in the gospel. There's our adoption as sons and daughters of God. There's justification. There is grace alone. There is faith alone that is taught to us by the gospel, that our works account as for nothing. All of this is a part of the gospel. All of this is what motivated the Apostle Paul in the hard times of his ministry. He was willing to endure trials for the sake of the gospel. And you ask yourself, what are the trials that he endured? Now, we've been looking at his prison, him being imprisoned in Rome from Philippians chapter 1. But Paul also gives sort of a list of the trials that he endured from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24-27. I'll read it here. "Five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, and hunger and thirst, often without food and cold exposure." Paul endured trials. And if you're like me, you have not yet endured any of that yet for the gospel. But I think the most incredible thing which we see here from our text this morning, it comes from the last part of 18a, is that in all of this, in the gospel, Paul is still rejoicing. That comes from a life that prioritized the advancement of the gospel above all else. He is able to make nothing of himself. It sort of echoes the words of John the Baptist. He must decrease. I must decrease. So that is the question which we must ask ourselves this morning as we look at the advancement of the Great Commission. How much do we make of ourselves? Is there something from our text here which we can learn this morning that can encourage us, spur us on to talk to our neighbors about the gospel? So let's just look briefly at the context of Philippians, just to get you up to speed. It's been a little bit since I've been last up here and talked from Philippians. I'll just give a quick summary, and then we'll just sort of start running sort of like as in a marathon, but the person will pass the baton on to the next person, so I do for you. Last time when I was up here, I spoke about the Apostle Paul's prayer life. He was concerned for the Philippian believers, and the Philippian believers were concerned about him. They partnered together in the gospel. And Paul rejoices at seeing, or when he brings them up in prayer. And what is he praying for? He's praying for their love to increase in knowledge and discernment, that they may become more Christ-like. Ultimately, for the ends, I believe, so that they may better minister and advance the gospel. There lies a connection between the heart and proclamation of the gospel. When our heart is right with God, we are able to boldly, courageously go out to others and talk to them about the gospel. And that's what Paul is trying to do. He's trying to encourage them that even in spite of his chains that he is in, that it is still possible to see the gospel advance. So I turn to our text here. I want you to know, brothers, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Paul is in prison, and he is suffering to advance the gospel. He's encouraging them of this. And he brings forth that there are two groups of people that have not heard the gospel before because of his imprisonment, that have been encouraged. Not only that, he also brings up that there are other Christians who have been more emboldened because of the imprisonment of Paul in their evangelism. So we're going to examine those two things. One, the people that Paul was trying to minister to with the gospel. And we're going to look at the second, the people who Paul encouraged to be more bold in their evangelism. So let's look at the first group. Verse 13. So that it has become known throughout the entire imperial guard to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. There are two people that are encouraged by Paul, or that have heard the gospel as a result of Paul's imprisonment. Those two people are the imperial guard and all the rest. Now I had to look and see what was meant by all the rest. This more than likely meant people who were in the imperial courts, who would have been hearing Paul's case. Would have been people sort of like how Festus or Herod Agrippa or Felix, how they asked of Paul, give an account for why you are in prison for before us. Paul's testimony to them back then was that he was in prison for the sake of the gospel. Such a thing to soldiers and to court officials would have been radically different from anything they would have heard of before. How is that? Because what they would have heard of before, or what they would have been thinking, when a person comes up before them, they would have been making a plea to Caesar to grant mercy. Not so with the Apostle Paul. Paul knew he was there because of Christ. These officials, when they usually have someone brought up to them to hear their case, they are in chains. And these chains are a representation of the authority, the power, and might of Caesar. Not so with the Apostle Paul. Paul makes it astonishing, and I don't want to regurgitate his testimony. I think I went through it a little bit in a previous sermon. But he made it clear that the reason why he is before them is for Christ, because of the gospel. He is under arrest. He is the man that was on the way to persecute Christians, saw the risen Lord, and ever since then, he has been in bondage to Christ. And because of this bondage, Paul has been willing to follow Christ anywhere because he has seen Christ for who he was in all his beauty. You wonder with the Apostle Paul, with the life that he lived as a Pharisee, that he understood the workload. Yeah, literally workload it meant as a Pharisee to keep the law of Christ. And now that he is in Christ, those burdens of trying to earn favor with God, knowing that Christ is your righteousness, that it is Christ who establishes your standing before God, it is because of this that he's willing to follow him anywhere. And it's because of his testimony for Christ, because of this message, that he takes the opportunity, yet even in prison, to advance the gospel. In Acts chapter 28, verse 23, it recounts of this, of Paul's ministry. They came to him at his lodging in greater numbers, and from morning to evening, he expounded to them, testifying of the gospel, or to the kingdom of God, and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Well, let's just sort of change gears for a moment here. Doesn't that maybe in some ways sound a little bit counterintuitive? Think about this. We have a man who is in chains, and all of a sudden, it's not hindering the gospel message. We tend to think that in order for the gospel to go forward, that you need unhindered access, that you need total freedom and liberty. I'm not trying to minimize any of those things when it comes to the forwarding of the gospel. But here we see that Paul is advancing the gospel even yet in his imprisonment. Paul is bold for the gospel. Why is that? Paul in Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation." God's power is manifested in the gospel. Think about it this way. Let me just sort of apply it like this here. The foolishness of the gospel. We believe that 2,000 years ago, that a man who claimed to be God died on the cross, and although there's not really any other accounts out there, they claim that he came back to life, he claimed to be God, and now he wants us to go out throughout the world and proclaim that there is a forgiveness of sins with God 2,000 years ago. I don't know about you, but to the modern hearer, this sounds foolish. This sounds crazy. Why would anyone in their right mind believe that message? And the only reason, the only way you can account for that is that it's the power of God unto salvation. It is God who gives the gift of belief, the gift of repentance to the sinner to believe the gospel message, who opens the eyes of the sinner to hear the gospel message. Let me apply it to us. This should give us courage when we go out to talk to our neighbors about the gospel. We may be heading possibly for some turbulent times ahead. There's a great possibility that our tax-exempt status as a church may be removed. They may accuse us Christians of being immoral and bigoted people. But the advance of the gospel will not lie in our cleverness or in our circumstances. Paul was thrown into prison, yet the gospel still advanced. Christ promised that he will build his church. This ought to give us courage when we go out there to proclaim the gospel, because it is the power of God. You know, I used to do more evangelism when I was a single guy. I used to go into the streets of Calgary. And we used to go out, we used to actually set up a sketch board, and we used to do sketch messages to sort of illustrate, to help captivate an audience. And maybe sometimes we even just stood up on a little box. And we did it in a winsome manner. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. There is a wrong way. But the amount of conversations that we were able to have with people. Now, I had a number of people who would come up to me and say, "Justin, what you are doing," these are Christians, "what you are doing is foolishness. It does not work. Why are you going out there?" Well, that's because I believe that the gospel is believed not because of anything which I do, but because of everything which God does. So therefore, when I go out there, I am faithful in proclaiming the gospel. I have faith that God has people out there that He wants to hear, there are people out there who want to hear the gospel because the Holy Spirit is working in them. And that's what we learn in Scripture. I know that Gord probably preached on it not that long ago, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, it's sort of a passage that speaks volumes to me, that gives me courage to go out there and speak my faith. It says here in verse 27, "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even that even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." So when I go out there and I do something, I speak the gospel, I preach the gospel, and people are walking by, the person that stops and listens to the gospel, hears it, receives it, that is the power of God there. Because it is a message that is foolishness to the world. It's not my own cleverness that builds the church. And I believe that's what you see here in Paul's imprisonment. That you have the imperial guard and all of the rest of the court officials listening to Paul, hearing him. Because the power of God is being manifested in the word that is being preached. this sort of leads to the next of Paul's point. The courage that he gave to believers. They were encouraged to be more bold. Verse 14, "And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." So not only are, because of Paul's imprisonment, are there officials in Caesar's court that would never have heard the gospel otherwise, now hearing the gospel, but it's also encouraging, advancing the gospel with other fellow Christians by hearing that Paul is in prison and he's being faithful to the gospel message. They are going out with courage to speak the gospel, to preach the gospel. Again, I want to apply it to our situation here. I started talking about that there might come a time where we might be considered bigoted and a hate group by the world. Let's go one step a little bit further here. There are groups of people out there who want to cause trouble. And they will purposely look for a weak link. They may one day decide, you know what? Let's find some hate speech. Let's teach those Christians. Let's do some retribution for decades of hate towards our group. They will go onto our website, maybe go and find one of Gord's old messages and bring it up and claim that this is a hateful message. And let's say that they imprison Gord. Here's the question of the morning. Would that encourage you to be more bold in talking to your neighbors if Gord went to prison? Would that encourage you to be faithful in this generation? Or would you be more cautious in your gospel proclamation? Why is it that these people were encouraged to proclaim the gospel? It's because they did not find their identity in themselves. If you remember my second sermon, I sort of camped for a bit on what it meant for Paul and Timothy to be slaves of Christ. Paul and Timothy were slaves of Christ. You and I are slaves of Christ. How do we prioritize our life? Do we orientate our life around our own priorities, the things that we want to do? Or do we prioritize around Christ and His kingdom, the advancement of His kingdom and His gospel? The reason why these people here from our text, took courage was because they realized that even when Paul was imprisoned, that because he was being faithful to God, that would not stop the advance of the gospel. And if the gospel cannot be stopped by imprisonment, well, how much more as a slave of Christ should that not encourage us to be more bold who are not in prison? We are not in prison yet. I'm sure that one day when we are in prison, that God will give us good ministry over there, in prison. How about in the meantime, we take courage and we go to our neighbors, believing that it is the power of God that's being manifest. You want to see the power of God? Preach, proclaim the gospel to your neighbor. That is where the power of God is. Now, for some of us, if you're like me, you have weakness. I have a bad back. You know, the Chinook or a change in weather or something. I can sometimes, you know, I can't get up. I hurt. But that does not stop others have stopped me from being bold for the gospel. My mouth can still speak. And I know that maybe a number of us, we talked about it this morning in our prayers, we hear it all around, we all have ailments. That should not stop us from being bold for the gospel. I want to share a little story with you. I was able to talk to a friend this past week from my home church in Swan River. Her husband, they went to the doctor and it found out that there was a blockage in his heart. Now he was active enough, strong enough, that even as an 83-year-old man, that they still escorted him to the hospital and they did a bypass surgery on his heart. But he and his wife were there in the hospital. And the thing which I am encouraged by is that even in their weakness, they were a testimony to the gospel over there. People saw them reading their Bibles, doing the ordinary things which a Christian does, praying, talking to each other about eternity, about the gospel. And they were a bold witness to the people in that hospital. So if God can even use us in those moments of weakness, in our circumstances of weakness, we should be encouraged that God will advance the gospel. I want to sort of bring us to a close now. Next week, I wanted to look at verses 15 to the end, the motivations for our gospel proclamation and the humility of Paul. If I can give that as a teaser. But if I can encourage you for this coming week, be encouraged. You want to see the power of God? Bring the gospel to your neighbor. You might be surprised what God is doing already in the hearts of people. The harvest is ripe. The workers are few. Let us be faithful slaves to Christ. Let us pray. Father, we know of the weaknesses of both the psychological weakness of not having necessarily the courage to speak to our neighbor. We know of the physical ailments that may seem to hinder us. But Father, I ask that you would help us to have courage. Give us something that we may not necessarily possess. And Father, if we do possess courage, I pray that you may embolden us to be bold in our gospel proclamation, to have joy as we proclaim to our friends and neighbors that they can have forgiveness of sins through repentance and faith and believing in a dying and resurrecting Savior. Father, let it be that if someone was to cut us, that we would believe the gospel. Let the gospel be everything on our lips. Let us be so taken in, so enthralled with knowing of the forgiveness of sins, of the sweetness of relationship, fellowship that we have with you now. Let that be an outpour of our life to those that we know. Father, we think of those out there who we support. We pray that you may encourage them and strengthen them as well. We ask that you would advance your kingdom for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.